So what do you think of the new theme song, Marie?
I like it. I think it's jazzy. I think it's a little groovy.
You know, I think I just watched some movie that was set in the 70s before I made it. So I was, you know, in that mindset.
It was like ingrained in your brain.
Yeah, exactly. It was ingrained. And I was like, you know what? So you know what? I like changing the Teachers Talking Tech theme song. I'm sure if I talk to some marketing whiz, like, they'd be like, no. Like,
terrible McDonald's idea, because like psychologically you relate the theme music with the podcast. Like, you're just like breaking everyone's brains.
That's right. And so, yeah, the ba-da-ba-ba, you know, McDonald's theme song.
Yeah.
Like, they would never change that now, because it's like, no, you can't change it. Or, yeah. But listen, if we go from 7 listeners to 6, I think we're still safe.
And for those people still hanging in, even after they listen to the theme song and they're like, what are these people doing?
That's right. Well, welcome to Teachers Talking Tech, everybody. It's Marie and I today. Mike is not here. And listen, we have some updates here for you.
We have so many updates.
Yeah. So first of all, first update, COVID is still a thing, right, Marie? Am I wrong there? Is it still?
Nope. That's true. And if you told me like last March, when like all the school closures happened, that like we would still be doing this in October. I mean,
just punched me in the face. You would have just punched me in the face and walked away.
Correct. Yep. But here we are. Who knows how long we'll be here.
Yeah. Well, so number one, Mike and his family had a baby. So they have, in the midst of all this craziness, they have a newborn at home. So with his other 2 school age kids, and he's coaching football.
And we're teaching in a pandemic.
There is that too.
We'll get to that soon.
We'll get to that soon. Yeah, for sure. So Mike, he's busy. We'll just say it that way. Marie, you're unchanged though, right? Well, you started a grad degree.
It's very rude. I have a lot going on for me. It's a very rude assumption. I decided in the midst of a pandemic that after a decade of teaching, I would finally get my master's degree. I decided, you know what? 2020 is already insane. Let's go back to school.
Nice. So you're in, what is your degree in?
I am doing my degree in family and human development through Arizona State.
Oh, nice.
With Sun Devils. Woo!
All right. So family and what is it again?
Human. It's just like all humans.
Family and human development. All right. Okay. Well, that's cool. I can't wait. You can drop some knowledge once you have that degree. We'll bring you back as a special guest one time.
You'll come back and just like analyze your brain, which I feel like you'd be a good case study.
I could be. It depends on what you're analyzing. Well, for my update is that I'm not teaching this year.
Teachers Talking Tech, more like one teacher and some other dude talking about tech.
That's right. So our district reached out to me in August, right before the year started, and asked if I would do like a kind of tech coach role for the district, like K-12. And so I agreed to that, and it's weird. It's weird not being in the classroom after 16 years. But it has been good to be able to like zip around and help people, within the district, you know, where I think this year, if I was in the classroom, I would have still had to do that. Like I would have still had all these people asking for help and this and that, and I would have felt like I couldn't help them, which would not have felt good. So even though I felt super guilty, leaving everybody in like the hardest time to be a teacher ever, I feel a little guilty about that.
I think they're like very much utilizing your skill set this year.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's part of it does feel good. So, but I do miss the kids. We were just talking about that before we started recording that, like, it is weird not being in the classroom, being in a role, that I don't have direct, contact with kids every day. You know, what's weird. It doesn't feel like a real job. You know, you get used to it.
Yeah, like the reference of like what a job is as a teacher, like our jobs as teachers are so different from any other job out there.
It really is. Especially this year. You know, we'll talk about some of this as we go along, but like the schools were always the glue, right? That held society together in a lot of ways. Schools were the glue that kept kids somewhere during all the work hours for parents. School was the glue when families were falling apart for whatever reason, that we gave children that kind of like normalcy. Mm-hmm. Schools were the glue that keep the calendar together for the year. I mean, really, it's all those things that people knew, but I think
I don't know that they appreciated as much, or it's such an ingrained system they didn't realize how integral
yeah
school system is.
Yeah, for sure.
I have one very serious question about your new job.
What's that?
Do you enjoy going to the bathroom whenever you want? Use your own bathroom breaks. Like, is that really great? Can you eat your lunch in more than
the bathroom? No. I thought you were combining two questions.
Oh, I mean, I'm adding questions.
Yeah. So I find it hard not to announce to the room that I'm using the bathroom and where they can find me, because you have to do that with kids. So,
You stealth sneak away.
Really? What if your kids, something happens?
Well, they know that they can misbehave if you tell them you're leaving.
That is true. That is true.
They don't notice that you're gone.
No, what's crazy? Number one, not too much information for people out there, but I do feel like I'm using the bathroom a lot more, which is probably healthier. Instead of holding it and being like, oh, gym is 11:30. I think I can make it, which is like any teacher out there, that's what you do. So that has been nice. For lunch, I think I'll get there. Right now, I don't have enough time to really take my time to eat lunch. But once hopefully the school year calms down at some point, that is one of my dreams, is that I'll have an actual 30 to 35 minutes for lunch instead of, the actual, by the time we drop off our kids and do all those things, what do we get, like 21 minutes?
I wish that for you. I don't know that the school year is going to calm down, though.
That is true. That is true. So let's update all the listeners, not on just our bathroom habits, but on kind of what we've been doing.
The listeners need to know. It's been a while.
It has been a while. So the first thing I'd say is that we started the year full virtual.
Yep.
And I think, as I talk to different teachers around the United States in the fall, there was a lot of different models. There was like full virtual, there's a hybrid model, there is face-to-face, and then there is like this in between where it's like, hey, we're face-to-face, but we had a lot of families didn't want to come back, so we have to manage them. It's bananas.
Like, so many factors, right? And I don't know that there's one correct way. No matter what way you are currently doing school, some element of it just feels super off.
Yeah, that is the hardest thing, I think, for me to teach teachers this year, like as I've been trying to reassure them or tell teachers that it's going to be okay. Like, in my role, I'm just trying to take some of the stress off of teachers right now and trying to convince teachers that you can't do it all and that you are still doing a good job. Like, so many teachers feel like they're failing even though they're working harder than they've ever worked.
Right. I mean, I will say this is the hardest year of my career. This is the most difficult thing I've ever done in my teaching career. But also, I think as teachers, we hold ourselves to higher standards. Like, I don't feel like I'm teaching the way I normally do, but that's because I'm not. I'm not teaching the way I normally do.
No, that's the truth. I mean, it's so much harder. And I'll ask you some of the ways that you're doing this, because I know that you still do this for your students, but the social emotional aspects, meeting those needs of students, making it feel like a class, So we started out full virtual, and it was honestly easier than it is now, because we're hybrid now for half our district. And virtual, at least we kind of figured it out, right?
I think you could also fully virtual. All the kids are doing the same thing at the same time, so you could fully focus on one thing.
Yeah,
it didn't feel amazing. Didn't feel normal, I'll say that. But we did. I think we kind of figured it out. But you could focus on all the kids because they were all doing the same thing.
Yeah, and I think that the learning curve for us at the beginning of the year was Zoom. Zoom, like we kind of had it down, we thought, from the spring, right? But when it came down to like, wow, our workload has doubled or tripled since the spring, doing assessments, meeting all these different types of needs that we didn't necessarily have to do. And so that was a big learning curve. We had a lot of teachers, who learned to use a second screen with Zoom so that they could see their students while they're teaching a lesson and sharing their screen.
Right.
There was a lot of that. And there was a lot of managing, like managing breakout rooms, managing students, so you felt like a classroom community.
I think that's, for me, that's always my biggest thing is building the community, especially at the beginning of the year, because at least at the end of last year when we went and, the school closure happened, at least we'd spent up until March building a school community, and I knew those kids. Going into this year, not knowing those kids at all and having to build rapport and community and buy-in on a screen, And also just like making sure the kids knew that like they were loved and they were safe and like, you know, it was mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's a great point. Is, you know, in the spring when we went virtual, we already had those relationships built. Where this year, yeah, you're building a classroom from scratch. I was talking about it with somebody, and we kind of likened it to dating, but doing it over the phone, right? Like, so, like, not only do you not get to like see the person in person, or all the things you would normally do on a first date, but it's like all awkward and over the phone, and there's a lot of dead silence where you're all staring at each other, you know?
Yes. Well, and I thought, so it'd be so interesting if I could go back now. Are we like entering week 7 of school? And we've already had 2 different models. But if I was starting back at the beginning of the year, I think I would have done things so differently. It's so funny looking back now, but I mean, that's always, right? That's always the case. Yeah. But I think I kept thinking I needed to reinvent the wheel for everything. And really a lot of the things that worked so well for me in normal world worked just fine. And it like had the same student buy-in on Zoom.
So. Nice. That's good. And well, and before we start talking about hybrid and kind of our experiences there and what we've done, I think that would be one of the main points that we found out is that like teachers, families, administration, we all had to do a 360. Like we had to reinvent ourselves, reinvent what we do. But the one kind of constant has been the kids. The thing we were so worried about,
yeah,
for the most part, has been the most steady.
I think adults have been so much more traumatized by this than children. The children have blown my mind. Their resilience, their independence, their flexibility. Like, we've changed so much about what they do. I had such an interesting chat with a parent during a conference. A conference is on Zoom, which I kind of loved. That was kind of great.
Nice.
She had one child entering kindergarten, and she's like, I'm mourning the loss of kindergarten. She's like, but then I had like the mindset of, I'm mourning the loss of kindergarten because I know what kindergarten should look like. My kid is loving kindergarten, and she loves her teacher, and she's having an amazing year, and I needed to let that go. So I think it is very difficult for adults, and the kids are rolling. I don't.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. As a parent, I can totally see that. Like for my son, I'm always equating what my experience was to his, you know, like what was my fifth grade? Like what was my, and I found myself mourning some of that too, because I was like, man, this was the year I did this and I learned about this, or I, you know, whatever it is. And for him, he's kind of like, okay, well, whatevs, you know, I'll go in. And he actually kind of likes, like he's at home right now doing full virtual still. And he kind of likes it. He feels like he's in college, and he gets up with his tea. He makes a little mug of tea in the morning, and like,
he
sets himself up at his little desk and looks over his schedule. Now, of course, other kids are different. Like all kids handle this kind of thing differently.
Oh, but I will say this has been an interesting model for some kids. They are thriving that don't thrive in the normal school environment. I think a lot of kids who have maybe a lot of anxiety going physically to school, that piece of it, that layer of it is gone. Mm-hmm. And some kid, like some independence, like
that's
interesting.
And that is what I do hope. I hope that some of the things we learned during this time, like number one, I hope that we start to realize that internet is just a right, that it's not something that you should have to pay for, or, you know, that every family has to pay for. I hope that it's just like a utility.
Yes.
That everybody pays into, like water and light and whatever. I think that's like our infrastructure, gosh, it's really had a light shined on it, how poor it is, especially for rural communities and things like that. I hope too that things were easier, like parent-teacher conferences on Zoom.
I was just going to say that. I had a dad who told me he's never been able to come to his kid's conference once because he's always at work, but he could Zoom into a conference from work, and he loved that he got to be there for it. So, and also like, I think it was really easy for parents of young children who didn't have to drag them all up to school at 7 o'clock at night, right? They could just log in and we could chat. So, I mean, I'm hoping that that's something that could still be an option. I'm hoping we don't just revert back to exactly what we did before. I hope we keep the pieces of this that actually were more convenient.
Yeah. And there definitely are some pieces that are working well. You know, and I think that there's a part of me that feels like during this whole time that all the innovations that we've talked about on this podcast for like the last 5 years, all these innovations that have come about with like flex seating and choice and voice and all these things we've kind of been building toward, those have all regressed. They're out the window, right? Yeah, like we're back to old school teaching. And it's not by any fault of our own. It's just that's what's mandated. You know, that's you have to right now. But I do hope that as we go back, like you said, some of these things come back, but other things fall away that weren't working as well or that could be improved. And yeah, there are some of them that I really love.
And there are whole things that like we're just not teaching this year because we either physically can't or we don't have time for.
Yeah.
And some of the things like I'll be thrilled to bring back. And some of the things I'm like, let's reevaluate. Do we even need this? Like, yeah. Was it necessary? Was this detrimental that we didn't use this? Like, you know, I hope we kind of merge the two things we were doing into this very cool new system. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, so after we started out virtual and, you know, just like we were talking about in the spring, like our school district, we use Seesaw and Zoom. And really, we're trying to, this year, I think, we're really trying to balance screen time and thinking about students' well-being. And they're doing well, but thinking about how many hours are kids on screens?
Yep.
Does everything we do have to be on a screen? Because you do get into this routine where you think like, okay, well, I can have them jump right from this, right to that, right to this. And I know, speaking for my son and speaking what I've heard from other parents, that these students get a lot more tired sitting on a screen all day than they do having to go to school in person.
Absolutely. Especially those weeks we were fully virtual. I had so many parents say they're just so tired. And I was so tired too. My eyes were so tired.
Yeah.
That piece of it. So moving into this other model, the one thing that felt better was my eyes felt better. I felt like I wasn't staring at a screen as much, but it's just as exhausting for the kids to sit in front of a screen.
Yeah. Well, so our model now, we'll move into that. So we moved into a hybrid model. And, you know, the thing I think that for a lot of teachers listening to this, the chance that you're going to have to change the model once during the year or twice is pretty high. Like even if you started face to face, the chance that you're going to go full virtual or hybrid or whatever and back and forth is pretty high this year. You know, from everything I've been seeing, once we start getting into the cold weather and you know, this is going to ramp right back up, unfortunately. And so I think just being aware of all these different things and helping each other, which is why we do this podcast, right? We want to try to get teachers to feel like they're part of a larger community. We want them to feel like they're not going it alone. And once we started hybrid, like what was your biggest fear going into hybrid, Marie? Like when we were...
I mean, my biggest fear is that I wouldn't even be able to physically do it. We're 3 weeks into it, and I'm finally feeling better. I think actually my biggest fear, once again, was social emotional. All of a sudden, you know, I have 12 kids who are with me in person, and then I have 12 kids who are on a screen, and I'm teaching all of them at one time, which is kind of like brain-breaking, I will be honest with you. But my biggest fear was that all of a sudden this classroom community that we'd created, even though it was online, all of a sudden would split in half. So we'd have like the A group and the B group, and there'd be this divide. So I've been doing a lot of activities where the two halves have to interact back and forth, which is a lot to figure out and plan, but it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. You know, and that was part of my fear too. So I had, as a tech person this year, myself and other tech leadership, we basically had about 2 days from when it was announced to, you know, decide what we wanted to purchase, what we wanted to get out to teachers and implement it, which was really tough. So our setup in our rooms right now, if you could try to picture this, we have our computers and our projectors. So just like always, right, where you can show your screen on your projector and kids are in your class. The added piece of it was how to really add kids that were on Zoom at the same time. So we have a webcam that's kind of like on a little snake that, you know, like on a little, yeah, whatever you call it, a little snake where you could move it around.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we have like a conference microphone speaker system so that you can hear people online, and that, and anybody who's used Zoom or Google Meet or anything like that knows that when you walk away from your screen, no one can hear you anymore. So you got to have a speaker system or a mic that'll pick you up. And so that's kind of how we set it up. And so you can screen share through Zoom onto your board, or, you know, through the projector, and then kids at home can see it too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it seems to work fine, right? But it's a lot to manage.
I think also the other layer of like managing the kids are now, you know, like we said, back in rows with a 6 foot distance. I think also managing the health and safety protocols while also teaching, I think I'm just getting more used to it. It feels like a lot. It feels like your brain can't fully focus on one group of kids at the same time, which has felt bad for me. And I think also wearing a mask, it's been tough for me to like with like the eye contact and the like expression, but yeah. We're doing it. Like we're rolling through. I definitely had like one morning where I just like sobbed in my car before I went into school. Like it's so tough. And I think all the teachers out there, like, you're not alone. It's so, what we're doing is so difficult. But then this past week, all of a sudden, like, we're back in the groove of like, okay, we can do this. Like we can do this. We're getting back into a routine. It's very strange, but we're making the best of it.
It's almost like you're trying to talk to somebody on the phone while you're listening to somebody talk to you in person at the same time, right? It's like impossible to divide your attention that many ways. And I know that like our district was great about telling us like, it's okay to just focus on the kids in the classroom. Like the kids who are coming in from home, you know, you want them to feel like they're part of the class. You want to include them, but you don't need to feel like you're teaching two classes at once, because that model for any district that tries to do that, you're going to burn your teachers out.
Absolutely. It's so tough to not ignore, but not spend as much focus on them. And mm-hmm. I think that's more with the little ones, you know, it'll be interesting as the older grades go back into this hybrid model, how it feels for them. I think for us, our kids just want to talk to you. It's so difficult to, you know, but what has been cool is if I am helping the kids in the classroom with something and the kids are working, but they're still hanging out on Zoom, one of them will ask a question and then another kid who's also on Zoom will answer them. So like there's been cool little, they're helping each other. They do have this community piece, you know, this independent piece of it, or even like advocating, like, I don't actually know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to come in and check in. Another kid might answer them, which that you normally wouldn't get to see stuff like that. So that's a cool aspect of it.
I think too, like, you know, you were talking about kind of bridging the gap where you have kids at home, kids in school, being able to talk. That's really important. And so we, you know, we were kind of thinking through how to do that. And that's kind of where the webcam will show the kids at home. It'll show who's in the classroom, you know? So you know, then you can put that up on your board so that it's basically like having a Zoom where half your kids are at home and half of them are in person. And so you could do like a whole class discussion. You can do it where you have everybody on Zoom, even if the kids are in class, they can join on Zoom. And when I say Zoom, just know that I mean Google Meet or whatever you're using. But the difficulty there is the echo, right? Is you have to have all the kids wearing headphones who are in person, it can get tricky. But I think it's so important because you want to still be able to do breakout rooms that aren't just like, oh, kids at home, you're only going to talk to kids at home. And, you know, to make them feel like they're a group.
Yeah, or we like bounce back and forth. We'll do things like we always do, we still do like a compliment circle where like a kid who's virtual, I'll give them a name of a kid in the class and they'll just say something nice. And then we'll like bounce back and forth, which has been really sweet to listen to. Or even, like I said, they have a reading partner that they put go into a breakout room. The kids will all get on Zoom and go into their breakout room, and they'll still be able to chat with somebody, which is nice.
And I love that you've used the word chat so many times, because honestly, one of the things that I'm finding that the students who are really enjoying the experience when I talk to them, it's teachers that are just letting kids have time to do nothing. Just sit there and talk about like, what did you do this weekend? Share something else, let kids interrupt a little bit and talk out of turn on Zoom, not be so worried about the protocols and because otherwise it just feels so fake.
Right. And I think too, and we've kind of just developed our own norms with like muting and unmuting like throughout. And like I said, there'd be, I mean, the most hilarious example, like if you watched it, it looks like chaos in terms of like, if I'm having the kids share, I'll have a couple of kids share with a buddy. Then I'll just say, okay, if you want to tell me, like, tell me your answer on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, they'll all share. I still do that. And then the kids will all unmute and it'll just be like kids in person telling me answers, kids on the computer. And I'm just, you know, yep. Mm-hmm, great. Okay. Everybody, here we go. But then they all feel like they shared something. And that's nice. I think also I will, even if I'm not quite ready to start teaching, I will turn the Zoom on and the kids will just have a chance to chat. I'll flip the camera around so they can see the kids in the classroom, the kids at home. And I mean, the beauty of them being at home is they're like, check out what my dog is doing. And they just like chat. The kids will be like, what's your dog's name? So if you just give them that time, like you said, that's like, just talk.
Yeah.
Show each other something. Ask a question. I mean, our favorite is what did you have for lunch? They're always so amazed at what they eat for lunch at their houses versus in school. They'll be like, oh, it's pancake day, like at school when they're not there. So that those pieces of it, like just letting them like organically talk to each other. It's important to keep that because they would normally be doing that anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. And I think that some of that social emotional learning, like we've always preached on the podcast, like just letting kids have some freedom and letting them have some choice. And you'll find the social emotional piece will come easier to you if you do that. When you try to manage everything as the teacher, you're going to feel like it's all on you. Like you have to make these kids feel okay. And you have, but really, just letting you go of that control and they'll do it for you. And you're just kind of the manager. You're there to put the kibosh on stuff if you have to.
And if all else fails, you have the option to mute all of them at any time.
Well, like you said, there are some positive things about this model, right? Yeah. You know, what's funny is in my son's class, they were talking and they were just talking about random stuff. You know, what do you want for Christmas or this or that? And all of a sudden I hear Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. It just starts playing. And I mean, you all got to know that song out there, right? Like Never Gonna Give You Up, Never Gonna Let You Down, that one. And I'm listening. I'm like, who is playing that song? And one of the kids in their class, like they're in these breakout rooms, and he just started playing some jams. And I'm like, I'm peeking in and I see my son and everybody's just like jamming, you know? And instead of like letting them have it, when she heard about it, his teacher was just like, oh my gosh, that's kind of fun. And like just letting some stuff go.
Yes. Like,
it's all good.
We dance every day. Like we still do. I just turn on the music and the kids who are there dance and like watching them all do it. It's fun. And then you like put the camera on a kid and they're, show me a dance move. And then we all copy it. You know, it's stuff we would normally do. Yeah. I think you don't have to completely reinvent the wheel. You know, the things that are still working for you normally can still work.
Yep. Such a great point, Marie. I totally agree with you. You know, things that you do well as a teacher, just keep doing them, but give yourself some grace, pare things down so you're not burning yourself out.
Absolutely.
And then advocate for yourselves. No one knows what you need unless you tell them. And I think that's important for teachers to do as well.
And it's such a roller coaster. You will have terrible days where you feel like it's not working.
Yeah.
And then you'll have amazing days. And I will tell you, the families have been incredible. So supportive. I think if nothing, it's been a window into like, wow, this is what you do. This is your job. I could not do this job. So the families have been lovely. And I think I've never felt more connected to the families. I mean, I'm being broadcast into their home all the time. I had one who was like, yeah, every time you read, all of the siblings gather around to listen to you read a book. Do you know what I mean? And I don't see that. So hearing these things is amazing. And I think even if I had a terrible day, the kids are happy to be at school or like so excited to see me. So if the kids are happy, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. We wanted to give you an update. We know we hadn't put out a pod in a while and you know, we're busy and living this dream just like you are out there who are listening to us, but just know we're all in it together. And, you know, we really are thinking about all of you out there because, you know, us teachers, we're all a family and we got to make it through this together. So yeah.
Hang in there, take care of yourself, take a break. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Figure out what you can do to turn it off when you go home, even though that's tough for so many of us. Like,
it is. Well, you know what? If you want to connect with us, we love hearing from you. So you can send us an email at teacherstalkintech@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Twitter at @TeachSomeTech. Marie, have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for joining me today for this podcast. It was very cathartic and fun to hear your voice.
I miss you and I miss seeing you. I know Eric is usually right next door to me.
Yeah. Right. We're usually just open door yelling back and forth. We're now just only via text.
Catch me on Zoom.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, we're going to let you go with our sweet new 70s podcast outro music.
Please jam out as the podcast ends.
Yes, that is our request. All right. This has been Eric Robinson
and Marie Larson.
See ya.